This is the Life Church Podcast.
Last week, Pastor Rich began a new series entitled Grace is Greater. So grace is greater than, and you fill in the blank. It could be any number of things in our lives. The bottom line is that God, his grace is greater than anything that we can face in this life. And last week, Pastor Rich talked about how grace is greater than our mistakes. Grace is greater than your secrets. Grace is greater than your shame. That through the work of Jesus, each one of us can experience freedom and a new start. And God's grace is defined as his unmerited favor in our lives, but it's also defined as God's enabling strength, God's enabling power for us to overcome, to be overcomers, to continue in growth with him. So we're going to continue on in that series this morning. We're going to uncover that grace is greater than your isolation. It also happens to be Life Group. It also is this Sunday we're launching Life Groups. Life Group season has officially begun. We'll take it up. Just wait till later, and I'll ask you again, and then you'll be on board. For those who don't know, life groups are a small group of people who meet throughout the week and come together with the intention of growing relationally and growing spiritually together. And it's an avenue in which God, it's an opportunity in which God has given us to grow in community with each other. Amen? About 9 years ago, for my birthday, my youngest brother and his wife decided, for some reason, for my birthday present, to gift me a plant. And no time up until then had I ever shown an interest in horticulture or botany or plants of any sort. And at that time, I was a bachelor, so I had ate my supper over the sink, and had trouble keeping my apartment clean and doing laundry, things like that. So I'm not sure why they thought I was going to keep a plant alive for any sustainable period of time. But nonetheless, they gave me a plant, and so then I became a plant person. And I took this plant, and I put it up on the windowsill, and I said, all right, you do what you do, plant. And there the plant slowly died, and I lived in that time in an apartment in downtown Fargo, North Dakota, where I grew up, and it was a basement apartment, and so the top of my windows were level with the sidewalk, and so not a lot of sunlight came in, and I learned later that apparently plants also need water to grow, which I didn't do, but every once in a while, I would see the plant and be like, oh, no, and I'd remember to water it, and I would grab like a big glass of water and just dump it in there, and the soil was so dry that most of it would just come out the bottom and make a huge mess. So this plant just began to slowly die, and the leaves began to fall off. I met my beautiful wife, and we were about to get married, and we were at my apartment, and we were having the discussion that every couple that is about to get married has, and that is, how much of your stuff can we throw away? And so she said, can we throw away this plant, please? It's really depressing, and our apartment is going to be a place of life, not death. And I said, no, I'm really sentimental. So I'm like, no, my brother, he gave me that plant. And I don't like it, but he gave me that plant. And so just give me some time. I'll bring it back, I promise. I'll bring it back to life. So she said, all right, but if it continues like this, it's like three sticks sticking out of the ground with two leaves. If it stays like this, we're throwing it away. So I said, all right, fine. So our new place was this apartment. It was on the second floor, and we had windows that were facing the east. And so I put that plant in the windowsill, and I replaced the soil, gave it new soil, and it began to get sunlight like I'd never known before. And then I did something that I'd never done before. I began to water the plant consistently. And every day I would water it a little bit more. And finally came a day where I came and I saw the plant and it had new buds. And I said, praise the Lord, it has risen. It has risen from the dead. Amen. And before I knew it, before long, there was new leaves sprouting, new leaves. It's amazing. The plant had come back to life. Well, this plant actually entered into a season of its life where it had been a new healthy state that it had not known before. And it grew and it grew and it grew. My wife always interjects at this point in my story and says, you make it sound like this plant just became enormous and took over the apartment. It didn't. I would have had a picture for you, but the plant is actually dead now. But that's not what we're talking about, okay? And so this plant just began to grow. And because, do you know why? Because this plant was pre-programmed. It was designed to thrive in certain environments, to need specific things in which to grow. And you and I are the same way. God has pre-programmed us. He has designed us to thrive in very specific environments. And when we walk with Jesus, man, there are certain things that we need. We need that personal one-on-one relationship with God, and no one else can do that for you. That's that time where you get alone with him and you grow in relationship. You grow, and it's this living and active thing in your life. You need that. We also need to grow in our discipline. We need to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the things of God. This is important. But we also need other people. We need community that will surround us, that help us grow. That's what we need. And it's difficult as you get older, when you are in high school, when you're younger, when you're in college, you're just around your friends all the time and you think that's how life is always going to be. But once you get a job and maybe a family and all these different things, it becomes increasingly difficult to find deep level, meaningful relationships with people. And you really have to be intentional about it. You really have to go out of your way to seek those things out. Otherwise, years will pass, and all you will have known is shallow relationships. You have a lot of people in your life, a lot of acquaintances, but no one really knows you, and you don't really know anyone else. Life groups give us an opportunity for deep level, meaningful relationship. People that are going to walk together. We need each other. Did you know that? We need each other. When one of us falls down, the Bible says, pity the man who has no one to pick him up when he falls down. When things of this world are seeking to divide, we are linked in, we are arm in arm. Nothing is going to separate us because we are together. We are committed to one another. We need each other. And we are missing out on one of the great benefits of being a part of God's kingdom when we are not in community with each other. The good news is that God's grace is greater than our isolation. And this morning, we're going to unpack three things that can tend to keep us isolated. And this list is not exhaustive, but it's just a few things that keep us from being in genuine and true community with each other. One of the greatest obstacles that will keep us from experiencing true community in our life is pride. Pride is an enemy in many areas of our life, but specifically in growing a relationship with each other, pride can be a real hindrance. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says that God opposes the proud. There's a lot of scripture about pride, but this verse speaks very plainly about how God feels about pride. It says, God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. That word opposes means he actively resists. And let me tell you, that is not a place, that is not a side of God that I want to be on. Humility is one of the chief attributes, one of the chief characteristics of God's kingdom, God's family. It's in humility that we come before him with a repentant heart and say, God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I need you to change me, transform me. I'm full of sin. I'm full of junk. Change me. That takes humility. It's pride that keeps us from that. Humility, one of the byproducts of humility is authenticity, is vulnerability, is transparency. All things that are needed for deep level relationship. And it's pride in our hearts that would say, I want to make sure everybody thinks I have it all together. We have this facade that we've built, these masks that we wear that says, no one can really know what's going on in my life. No one can know that my marriage is failing. Nobody can know that my kids are struggling. Nobody can know that I have this area of sin in my life. Nobody can know I lost my job or whatever it is. We got to keep up appearances. And it's robbing us from the blessings and the benefits that come in being a part of God's community of people. I thank God in my life that my dad had humility at one of the darkest times in his life. Here's a man who's walking and his family is serving the Lord, and all of a sudden, his wife begins to pursue the things of the world and totally walks out on our family. My dad is has four kids, and he's a firefighter, so he would work 24-hour shifts at a time, and he just, honestly, the standard was so low that he was like, I just need someone that can keep my kids alive while I'm at work. And I thank God for people like Grace and Dale Osten, who said, Dean, we're with you. We're with you. Who would take us in for months at a time. Really became like second parents to us. I think Grace probably spanked me more than my own parents did, which I deserved it, every one of them. But men and women that would step up to the place that saw a man that was struggling and reached out and said, I'll help. I thank God for people like Ron and Connie Sundquist, who are generous with their resources and their finances, and they're welcoming us into their home and speaking life into my father at one of the darkest times of his life. I could tell you in that moment of our life, if pride would have been something that my dad let rule the day, we wouldn't have made it. We wouldn't have made it. This is what God's family is. This is what God's community is. And we need humility. We need to be authentic with each other. We need to be vulnerable and transparent. I'm not like this. I'm not like this with everybody. I don't share my junk with everybody in the world. But we long for this. This is why when online you see people all the time putting very personal information for the entire world to see. That is not the right venue for that. Because we all long for this. We long to be known. We long for this connection to be made. And pride can keep us from that. But the good news is that God's grace is greater than our pride. The second thing is this, is God's grace is greater than our loneliness. I don't want anybody here to take this the wrong way and say that I'm trying to beat up on you for feeling lonely. We all have lonely periods of our life. I've had very lonely periods of my life. And loneliness actually can be a great motivator at times if we use it correctly. When moments of loneliness come, it can cause us to seek out the right things. But for a lot of us, we allow loneliness to cloud our judgment, and we kind of let the hopelessness feeling sink in. And all of a sudden, we start thinking about that old relationship that we know is toxic, but suddenly not looking so bad. Or we start looking for things to cope for our loneliness, like alcohol, or looking at things we shouldn't be looking at on the internet, or any number of things, being a workaholic. Or we hang out with people we know we shouldn't be hanging out with because they're not influencing us to do the right things, tearing us down. But out of our loneliness, we're like, I'd rather do this, any of these things, than be alone. Well, God has an answer for our loneliness. In Psalm 68, verse 4, it says this. It says, sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides in the clouds. His name is the Lord. And rejoice in his presence. For he is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of the widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely into families, and he sets the prisoner free and gives them joy. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. If you're wondering who God is, this explicitly tells us one aspect of who God is. He's a father to the fatherless. For those who grew up without one of their parents, or grew up with parents who didn't do the right things, or God is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of the widow, those who can't defend themselves. He's a protector, a provider. This is God's heart for us. For those who are in prison, God sets us free. And God's answer to loneliness is not to suck it up. God's answer to loneliness is to put you in a family. If God is our Father, we are his sons and daughters, that means that this is a family. The sad thing is that we've really turned the church into a weekly event or just a building. When God designed it as this living, breathing organism, he designed it as a family. And sometimes family things get messy. We're all a part of a family. But that's okay. We're committed to each other. It's a family. Paul uses this term in a lot of his writings, this term brethren. And it sounds like this really dry and liturgical term, but the Greek word is adelphos, and it means brothers born of the same father. I think that's really cool because just in this, just take this room alone right now that we're in, there's hundreds of different stories. There's hundreds of different backgrounds. We come from all over the world, and yet we are brothers and sisters born of the same father. We have this commonality in the father. We could go to the other side of the world. We could go to China and meet our brothers and sisters there. And we have the same father. There's a connection because of the father. I think that's pretty amazing. Families look out for each other. Families stand with each other in difficult times. Families speak life and encourage. Families invite one another to be a part so no one's left out. I knew this kid. His name was Justin. He's a young man who came to college. He called himself an atheist. And his first week on campus, he moved into the dorms, and he was next-door neighbor with a guy named Stephen. And Stephen went over to his room, to Justin's room, and just the first week, and just said, "Hey, man, some of us are going to go hang out. Do you want to come with us?" And so Justin came, and they invited Justin to their small group. And Justin was like, no, I'm not. I'm not interested. That's not my kind of thing. You know, I don't believe in God." And they're like, "Well, no, it's okay. We're not shoving anything down your throat. It's just a group of guys talking about life, and we'll talk about God and things like that. But it's more just friends hanging out." So he said, "Oh, well, all right." So he came the first week, and he came the second week, and he only missed a few weeks all semester. He didn't say a whole lot. He didn't reveal a whole lot about himself. He was kind of observing. But when they would go play Ultimate Frisbee, he would go with them. When they would go bowling, he'd go with them. When they would go out to eat, when Stephen would go home, he'd invite Justin to come with them. Well, towards the end of the semester, they were, at the end of their small group, they were praying for one another and going around taking prayer requests. And they're coming to the end, and they said, "Is there anybody else that wants prayer?" And Justin said, "You know, guys, would you pray for me?" First time he'd ever asked. Been together months. And they said, "Sure, what's going on?" And he began to share his life. And he said, "I grew up as an only child. My parents owned a bar. And so our house was attached to that bar. My parents were also alcoholics. And so they would spend all their time over there. And they would be there till all hours of the night. And they would sleep all day. And so I grew up alone." He said, "At the age of 10, I would go over and I would steal alcohol, and I would hide it on my bed, and I would drink it so I could fall asleep at night." He said, "I've just always been alone. I've always felt alone." And he said, "And this is the first time in my life that I haven't felt alone." He's like, "I see how you guys love each other. I see how you've loved me. And I really just want what you guys have." And that day, Justin gave his life to Jesus. He's serving the Lord today. God's answer to loneliness is that he sets us in a family. He gives us an opportunity to be a part. All of us have this desire to be known, to be accepted, to be a part. And that when we're away from that, we're selling ourselves short. We have to be intentional about getting into community, getting in a relationship with others. God's grace is greater than your loneliness. The last thing is, God's grace is greater than your past. God's grace is greater than your past. For many of us, we have a hard time getting close to people because of the things that we've done, the things that we've faced in our life, and we're embarrassed about those things. We don't want anyone to know that. We've allowed our past experiences, our past failings to define us. When God is saying, I've given you a brand new start, those things that which you used to struggle with now become your testimony. Many of us have disqualified ourselves from being used by God because we think the things of our past have disqualified us from that. When God is saying, I'm restoring you, I'm redeeming you, I've made you born again so he can use you. It's greater than just that we get to experience that new life, but it's so that we can be a conduit in which God works through. His grace is greater than our past. And God has a future for your life. He has a very specific future for your life that when he looks at you, he says, please choose this way. It's better. And we let our past, the things that we've done, and I'm not trying to minimize those things in any way. We let those define us and keep us in a place of complacency and stagnancy. His grace is greater than your past. You know, in last April, I shared my story. And for those of you who weren't here, like I said, I grew up in a broken home. And my mother walked out on our family. And inevitably, she took her own life when I was 11. And so I threw everything I was into the world. I was a drug addict and alcoholic. Thought about ending my life almost every day. In jail, all these different things. And when I was 20 years old, Jesus changed my life. I gave my life to him and he began to transform my life. But can I tell you something about that period of my life? It was really lonely. It's really lonely because I had a lot of friends. I always had a lot of friends. And these were people that would be with me through anything when I was living in the world. And then once I gave my life to Jesus, they were all gone. None of them wanted to be my friend anymore. I had one friend just scream in my face, say, what are you doing? You're going to be right back with us doing all the same things that we're doing. Just wait. Just watch. It's an encouraging friend. I remember one day I was sitting in church, and a guy by the name of Brad Lewis came up, and he said, Tony, good to see you, man. Wondering if this next week you wanted to come by my office. He happened to be the campus pastor of the university. He asked me to come to his office. I thought, oh, man, what did I do? Was I smoking too close to the building? Did he hear me swear by accident? You know, oh. And he said, no, I just want to get to know you. I just want to be your friend. And I was like, what? Why? Me? Look at me. You know, I'd always looked at myself as a failure, a disappointment, a loser. I remember going to his office that day, and he had this couch there that had the moniker, the crying couch. And I'd heard rumors about, you'd sit on that couch, and before you know it, you're crying, and you're sharing all your deepest, darkest secrets. I said, there is no way that I'm doing that. I'll sit on the floor. I'm not doing it. But I sat on the couch, and Brad looked at me, and he said, well, Tony, you were born, and then what happened? And I just, before I knew it, I'm just telling him everything in my life. I'm sharing all the junk. I'm sharing those things that I was ashamed of. I'd never told anyone before. These words are coming out. I'm trying to grab them and put them back in. No. Nobody can know that about me. I remember getting done. It was like I vomited all over the place. And I remember I was looking down like this, covering my face. And I was just so ashamed. I'm like, you idiot. Why would you tell this man all this stuff? I remember expecting to look up and see Brad shaking his head with this disapproving look on his face. Saying, what did I get myself into? Or maybe I would look up and he would say, he'd give me some trite answer about, here's a 1, 2, 3 step to a better you. Just do these things and everything will be better in your life. That's not what happened. I remember I was looking down, tears are running down my face. I remember looking up and seeing this man who's looking at me in the eye, and tears are running down his face, and he said, Tony, you are not a loser. You are not a failure. You're not a disappointment, and you're going to make it. You're going to do this. And he said, I'm going to walk with you. So I'm not going to walk in front of you. I'm not going to walk behind you. I'm going to walk next to you, and we're going to make it. We're going to make it. You know, in that moment, I didn't need a sermon. I didn't need a worship song. I didn't need a book. Those things are all good. We need those things. And I needed a friend. We all need that. You know, if you were to look at Brad and I, stand us up together, he's really tall. You would look at us and be like, okay, these guys have nothing in common. He's my dad's age. He grew up in rural North Dakota. He was a rancher before he was in ministry. He has a master's in beef cattle genetics. I didn't know that was a thing, you know. I don't know anything about any of that. I like steak, and that's about as far as it goes with me. I grew up in the city. If you were to look at us, there's not a lot on the surface that we have in common. But you know what? A lot of times we let that keep us from growing in relationship with people. But the love of God, God's love, God's grace transcends all of that stuff. And each one of us is just looking for somebody to walk with us. Somebody that says, no matter what, I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to be with you. I'm not talking about an unhealthy codependency, but people that are going to stand with you. And that's why life groups are so huge. They're so important. This is the opportunity that we have in the life church setting to grow in community with each other, to be intentional about growing in relationship with one another. People that will stand with us, walk with us. Say, no matter what happens in this life, it honestly doesn't matter. I'm with you. You're stuck with me. We need those life groups to facilitate community. Before we close, I just want to quick show you how to join a life group. On our website, lifechurchnow.org. We have our classes, which is a way to get connected in community, life basics. You just go to that sign up tab on the top and a list of all the classes that we have to get involved in. Otherwise, if you hit that engage tab, the second one in, life groups will be under there and it'll take you to this page. And then you just click the join now and you'll go there and that'll take you to our life group directory, and it's just a list of all the different life groups that we have, different areas, men's, women's, just general life groups. From a lot of different people, a lot of different areas. And you just go and you click on that and then you click join now, and then a request will be sent to the person leading it. And some of them are filling up already. And so if there's not room in one, Don't be offended. There's a place for everybody. So go ahead and do that this week, please. We need to be intentional about growing in community with each other, to finding people to walk with us. If you go to a group and it's not your cup of tea, that's okay. Find a group that is. But don't stop searching until you find those people that are, my wife calls them your people. Those are my people. Let's stand. We're going to bow our heads across this place. We're just going to have a moment of privacy in a crowd of people. I want to ask a couple of questions. This is a little different than we normally do it, but I want to ask a couple of questions. And in response to those questions, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand. My intention in you raising your hand is not so that I can embarrass you, call you out, or make you do anything weird. But I want to pray for you, and I want to know who I'm praying for. So the first question I want to ask is this, if you're here this morning and you just be completely honest and say, I've been letting pride, I've been letting my loneliness, I've been letting my past or anything else keep me from experiencing true community. And today you'd say, I want God to break that in me, and I want to start to pursue that. If that's you, would you just put your hand up in this place? Yeah, a lot of you. Is there anybody else? Thank you for your honesty. Appreciate that. You can put your hands down. The second question I want to ask you is this, is if you're here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus and you want one, or maybe you've had one in the past, but it's grown cold and stagnant and you need to get your life right with him today. If that's you, would you just put your hand up in this place? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there anybody else? You put your hands down. Thank you. If you just raised your hand, you need to get your life right with the Lord, I'm going to pray. And as I pray, like Pastor Wayne instructed us, just agree with me in prayer. Say a prayer kind of like I'm praying. God's not looking for the exact right words. He's looking for your heart. So I'm going to pray, and you just agree with me as I pray, and then we'll address that first question. So if you need to get your life right with the Lord this morning, just agree with me. God, I just recognize that I'm far from you. That I'm separated from you. But Jesus, I just want you. I surrender my whole life to you. God, there's sin, there's all these different things. But you already knew that. That's why you sent your son Jesus to die a horrible death on a cross and be raised to life again so we could be free, that we could have a relationship with you, God. Holy Spirit, come. Fill these people in Jesus' name. We just turn from the things of the world. We stop pursuing those things. And God, we turn to you and we start pursuing you above everything else. God, I pray in Jesus' name for each person here who raised their hand that's getting their life right with you today. God, set those things in stone on their heart in Jesus' name. For those in this place today, God, that raised their hand, they're letting pride or loneliness or the past or any other number of other things, God, get in the way of experiencing true, authentic community with people. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you break that root of pride in our hearts in Jesus' name. Uproot it, God, and I pray that humility would reign. Humility would reign. God, such an utter dependence on you. In Jesus' name. God, those dealing with loneliness and making poor decisions because of their loneliness, I pray that you would set them in a family and they would be intentional about seeking that out. God, for those who've been ruled by the things of the past, they're trying to move forward, but they're just looking backwards and they keep crashing and bumping into things. God, I pray that they would let go of those things of the past. They'd move forward. They'd fix their eyes on you, Jesus. They'd fix their attention on you, Jesus, and you would lead them. You would be the captain of their hearts in Jesus' name. God, give us such clarity for the road that you set out for us. Thank you for each person here. The things that you set in motion today, I pray that you'd see it through to its completion. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the Life Church Podcast.